Hey there, well-being. We last spoke, in quotes, in December 2025. A lot has changed in my life, and I'm sure you can say the same about yours. I feel like I need to take us back to the start of the year and work through some thoughts that have been on my mind since then. Quick disclaimer, if you'd like to share snippets of my newsletter on social media, all I ask is that you tag me. Would love to engage with you directly. And if you like the newsletter and forward it to a friend, a relative, a loved one of any kind, encourage them to subscribe too. So, starting with trust. My word for 2026 is trust. It's really interesting that I decided on this word at the start of the year and have not revisited it since then. But everything that has and continues to happen in my current season of life has demanded a trust like never before. Trust outside of myself that the universe, my ancestors, and the divine are all working in my favor to shape the life I imagine for myself and my community. Trust in myself that I will make decisions that reflect the values and principles I am refining and starting to define as core, while maintaining a fluidity that these ideas could change at any given moment. Trust in others enough to let them see me and hold me through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Trust that others will let me do the same. Trust in all my dreams, hopes, and desires, owning them without shame and guilt. Trust that there is real power in imagination. I can refute the narrative that the templates that have been built before me by the wider society, including my seniors, my relatives, and my peers, is the only model that exists. I can and will carve out my own path, and it is beautiful. It will be beautiful. Memory. I keep learning the same lessons over and over again until I make an actual shift in my reality that aligns with that lesson. And I know this for a fact because I have journaled consistently for many years. It is hilarious and embarrassing to read an entry from 6 years ago where I was coming to the same big revelation and eureka moment that I am journaling about today. Similarly, I read other newsletters I've sent out to you and feel like there's a clear thread cutting across them. Bear with me because I forget. I forget myself. And 99% of the internal work that happens is just a journey of remembering or trying to remember in a way that actually sticks. Why is it so hard to remember? Indulge me as I nerd out about memory techniques that I learned in medical school from Ali Abdal. Evidently, I love learning how to learn, and also sharing what I'm learning. Several studies on memory suggest that active recall and spaced repetition are two particularly good techniques to ensure you retain as much as possible. Active recall is a study method where you force your brain to retrieve information from memory using tools like flashcards, practice tests, and blurting. Blurting is when you read a section of your notes or the textbook, close the book, and then try to write down or verbally articulate as much of what you've read as possible. Spaced repetition involves reviewing the learning material at gradually increasing intervals. For example, 1 day after learning, then 3 days later, 8 days, 14 days, 30 days later, etc. The idea here is that you test your memory just as you're about to forget the information, which fights the brain's natural decay curve and efficiently transfers concepts into your long-term memory. While this is a method you can attempt to do manually, and I actually did in school, many learning and studying apps have now incorporated these techniques into their design. For example, language learning apps will get you to do active recall as you are learning the new words or phrases, and you will notice that they will test you on them at gradually spaced out intervals a few days, weeks, and months after. That's if you stick it out that long. I do not have these memory techniques built into my daily life outside of academic pursuits, at least not intentionally. I haven't created flashcards that I can use to quiz myself when it comes to my non-negotiables in relationships, or the values that matter most to me in the workplace, or the kind of art I want to create. I have all these things figured out. Then I open Instagram or TikTok and forget. I get caught up in the influx of ideas and the novelty I think they are bringing in the moment. I co-opt an idea from someone else that resonates with me before another idea is brought to my attention. I don't realize in the moment that the reason these ideas feel so relatable or resonate so deeply with me is because I already came to this very conclusion days, months, weeks, or even years ago. I'm not above the algorithm. I don't have the mental fortitude and discipline of some people to engage critically with every piece of content I consume. I get swept up by the brain rot, the trending sounds, and the hot takes. I also know that short-form content especially is designed to do exactly that. It was built to be addictive. When I actually slow down and quiet the noise, I realize that I already know enough because I am the subject. I have been here before, making a decision not too dissimilar to this one, thinking about how to have a difficult conversation with a loved one, or how to stand up for myself in what feels like a scary environment, or which next step to take in my career. I already know what love does and does not look like. I know how I want my days to pan out, and because I believe that your day is your life. And if you read the newsletter, I have a link to a YouTube video that I created many years ago about how I think about this. So I already know what I want for my life. As I write this, I realize that therapy is actually a brilliant example of both active recall and spaced repetition for me. My therapist keeps a file in my name, and every time we meet, I am retrieving information from my memory and coming back home to myself. She shows me the patterns in the lessons I'm learning and holds up a mirror to me to see myself more holistically. I love sessions when we realize that I'm in a similar situation I was in a previous season of my life, but the way I'm navigating things now is drastically different. I get to witness the growth that comes from learning, retaining, and implementing the lessons. We build a practical life kit together, so I always have the tools to ground myself. My twin sister, Michelle, is God's greatest gift to me because she really does house me, partly genetically, of course, but also we have been friends since we were in the womb together. We talk about everything with each other, and so we remind each other all the things we already know. We examine new ideas together with all the shared and separate context we have of one another and imagine new futures into creation. A friend of ours, hey girl, if you're listening to this or reading this, said that we are life partners, and that's the best way to describe it. I think that any relationship can be molded on this concept of knowing each other intimately enough to remind each other who we are, what we need and want, and how to support each other to get there. How can I remind myself? Stillness, silence, meditation. The time I spend in solitude, where the only voice I can hear is my own and that of the all-knowing universe. The ripples in the water, chirping birds, rustling trees, pattering rain, and the bellowing wind. In those moments, I remember that this life truly is my own and no one else's, but also that I am a part of the universe and that my existence is consequential. I have a direct impact on other people, living beings, and objects. Equally, that I am just a tiny speck in the universe in a deeply inconsequential way. Noisemaker. What does memory mean for how I show up in the world? In September of last year, I wrote a blog post on recalibration, and I've put a link in this newsletter for you to read it. I talked at length about where I've struggled with creating content over the years. I did not post any content for the first 6 months of this year, and when I came back to the internet, I was excited. I love talking about all the things I'm passionate about and sharing everything I'm learning, but I tend to forget the lessons I've learned on how to create sustainably. I use the word sustainably here as an all-encompassing term. How do I make sure I'm not adding to the noise? I'm trying so hard to quiet in my own life. Posting and reposting, cluttering people's feeds and minds. I know that it is reductive to suggest that everything is noise, but this is how I feel sometimes when I go online, even if the content is insightful, inspiring, and or hilarious. How do I give people the information they need without feeding into big beauty? I read an Instagram post by Dr. Tressie Macmillan Cottom, and I've linked this post, which is actually an excerpt from one of her books that I've been meaning to read called Thick. And I read this post this morning, and it gave words to something I've been thinking a lot about as someone who creates content around beauty. She defines big beauty as the structure of who can be beautiful, the stories we tell about beauty, the value we assign beauty, the power given to those with beauty, the disciplining effect of the fear of losing beauty you might possess, and explains how this definition excludes Black women. She says, Black women have worked hard to write a counter-narrative of our worth in a global system where beauty is the only legitimate capital allowed women without legal, political, and economic challenge, and proceeds to explain in more detail why beauty is not good capital. Our so-called counter-narratives about beauty and what they demand of us cannot be divorced from the fact that beauty is contingent upon capitalism. Even our resistance becomes a means to commodify, and what is commodified is always stratified. There's simply no other way. To coerce, beauty must exclude. It takes me almost 2 hours to compile a series I've been doing on my Instagram stories every week, titled Things That Made Me Feel Something This Week. And it's not even original content. I deliberate on a song and employ a lot of precision to manually get it to play cohesively in the background. I select highlights from the sea of content that I consumed, revisiting what struck me about that 10-second TikTok or that 15-page Instagram carousel all over again. I'm noticing now that this too is an act of remembering. And yet, I still wonder if this is the best use of my time, if there even is such a thing. But more importantly, am I keeping people on this platform to watch 25 stories from me that they aren't going to remember in a day? Will it leave a lasting impression and trigger their own introspection? What is my objective? Is it worthwhile to think about how people receive and interpret my output, or should I simply focus on the work itself? I enjoy consistency and cohesion in my life, that my public persona aligns with my private one, that the lessons I'm learning in private translate into how I show up outside, whether this is on or offline. It is far simpler for me than a fragmented self. I don't have the bandwidth to maintain the mystery of finsters and alter egos. Additionally, I recognize that I'm also a consumer in my day-to-day life. So as I discover new products and experiences, there is room to share that journey with others too. I am aware that I can leave the internet altogether at any point in time, and that would also be okay. Creating is still creating, even if there are no witnesses. However, I recognize that I keep being pulled back into online spaces, especially because there's so much joy and inspiration in sharing art with one another. Not just my own, but sharing others' work too. I know that there are communities off the internet that serve this purpose, and I'm plugging into them slowly and surely. My outlook is gradually becoming more of a yes and less of either or. More gray, nuanced, and complex, leaving room for uncertainties and contradictions. I trust that my work, content, art, and life will reflect this evolution. I'm learning as I go, being and doing, experimenting, living. Now I want to talk about the gems of the month, the three of them. The first one is linked, and it is a YouTube video which popped up on my recommendations a month or two ago. In the video, Dr. David Opar, who is a Kenyan development scientist living and working in Scotland, and he talks about quitting his job and becoming a stay-at-home dad. He reflects on the journey that led him to this decision, the challenges of juggling parenthood with his busy career, the financial and social implications of living abroad, experiencing loss and grief tied to systematic differences, mental health difficulties, and unlearning toxic masculinity. The next gem is The Tree You Didn't Hear, an album by Shiano Maimba. Shiano Maimba is a Kenyan singer, songwriter, guitarist, composer, arranger, designer, and curator. I was a fan of his music before I met him. Then he gave me a few singing lessons many years ago. He went from being an artist whose work I love to my teacher and now a friend. His lyrics reach me, and the choices he makes with his voice and instruments are very grounding and therapeutic. He has just put his album titled The Tree You Didn't Hear up on Bandcamp, and it has been on repeat. I have been lucky enough to have had some of these songs over the years. He has also performed many of them at gigs in Nairobi, but I'm only home a few weeks a year, so I tend to miss out on most of them. I'm really happy I get to enjoy and support his art, and Kenyan art in general, from afar. The third and final gem is Linda Maria's interview. Linda Maria is the founder of The Beauty Cottage, a hair salon based in Nairobi. I got my hair done multiple times at her salon in Langata many, many years ago before I got my locks. At the time, spring twists were becoming very popular, and she was the person to go to if you wanted those braids. The quality of the braids and the service was fantastic at a decent price point. In this interview, she talks about being in the salon industry for 22 years. Wow, how impressive. And her personal experiences and the lessons she's learned along the way about entrepreneurship. What are your gems from July? I have been very active on Instagram and TikTok. Michelle and I also finally gave Mapacha series a home on YouTube and TikTok. There's so much we want to create together and separately, so I'm excited for what the future holds. I'm also cognizant of how finite our time and capacity is, so the reflections from today's newsletter will be taken into account as I work out the mechanics of how I create. I'm allowing myself to create more intuitively and spontaneously, and honoring that there will also likely be seasons of retreat and hibernation. Winter. After all, I am a part of nature. It would be foolish to assume that the weather does not affect me like it does plants and other animals. There's still much more to be said, and you all know by now how much I love to talk, so I will stop here. I would love for you to hit reply, only if you want to, and share any thoughts that came up as you listened to this edition. I have always intended for my newsletter and all of my content in general to be a dialogue, and that includes hearing differing opinions as well, as long as they're shared respectfully, of course. In any case, you'll probably see me again somewhere on or off the internet. I hope that you are kind to yourself in August, regardless of what the month may bring. Always remember that your hair is your crown and your body is a temple. Embrace it, love it, and take care of it.